ladies and gentlemen. These days it's almost provocative to say that the European idea is an innovative, young idea. But it is. The European project started 70 years ago. I will have 70 by the end of this year. But France is 1,000 years old. So the European Union is young. Nationalism is an old, even an old-fashioned idea. It destroyed Europe and the world during World War I and World War II. Today, nationalism is gaining ground again in Russia, in China, in the USA, in the UK, but much less among the EU member states. The European Union is the opposite of tribalism. It is the opposite of each for oneself. If each country is proclaiming my country first, America first, La France d'abord, Deutschland über alles, the world becomes unlivable. Nationalism means war, as said by the former French president François Mitterrand. The European idea is a disruptive idea going against the spirit of the time in some parts of the world. Europe means peace. It is something we have to cherish in these dangerous times. Philosophers and authors have written hundreds of years ago about European unification, mostly related to peace and tolerance. But we had to wait until 70 years ago before we realized that dream. It was considered 500 years ago, at the time of the publication of the famous book of Thomas More, Utopia. It was considered as an impossible dream. But the absence of a dream, that's really dramatic. Progress is always driven by something that transcends everyday life. Today, there is more disarray and despair than hope. I listened to the inaugural address of the new American president. The tone was negative, gloomy, hostile, antagonistic, and full of hate and revenge. Compare this speech with those of President Obama or President Kennedy in 1961. President Kennedy said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." He made an appeal to the qualities in each of his fellow Americans, to the positive energy, to enthusiasm. Just the opposite of what happened on January the 20th. We have to dream, to speak of utopia instead of dystopia. We have to turn fear into hope. And I know, of course, that the European Union has to be improved in its functioning and architecture. I know that the Union is not always seen as a win-win enterprise anymore after the many crises we went through during the last 8 years. But we have to keep the sense of proportion. After 70 years, the Union is mature now. It is no longer a love affair between young people. We are in a marriage with ups and downs. A marriage with 27, by the way, for better and for worse. We have to fight for our marriage. Love is a verb. We have to defend Europe. One country is in a process of divorce, and let's hope that we can achieve an amicable divorce by mutual consent. But in any case, the 27 will continue their journey in the midst of a world where nationalism is becoming the rule and cooperation the exception. Stronger together is a better slogan than each for oneself. China, India, and others are conquering the world economically and even politically. And it's absolutely great that they managed to lift hundreds of millions of people out of extreme poverty. The EU represents 7% of the world population, only 7, and 20% of world GDP, though these numbers are decreasing day by day. Our world in which we live would become very small within the national borders of Belgium, the Netherlands, Germany, or Italy. We would be the leftovers of globalization with our 7% of world population. The youngsters of the United Kingdom understood this pretty well when they voted overwhelmingly in favor of remaining in the European Union. And many of those youngsters were devastated in the morning of June 24 after the negative result of the referendum. And by the way, in a few years' time, demographics would turn the outcome of 52-48 into 48-52. We often say that we have to think of our children and grandchildren, and I do. But in the UK, the opposite happened. The older generation stole the future of the youngsters. The generation furthest away from World War II is more supportive of the European Union, the peace project in essence, than their predecessors who were born just after the war. It's a real paradox. Dear friends, life is always full of tensions between space and place, between opportunities we can seize, the risk we can take, and the protection we need at home, space and place. And Europe created space with the free movement of goods, services, capital, and people. It created prosperity. And the same happened on a global scale. Millions of young people could study, for instance, abroad via all kinds of so-called Erasmus programs. But in general, the world became a village with unprecedented possibilities to travel cheaply and to serve on the internet for free. We have access to information, music, entertainment, exchanges as never before in human history. No country is far away anymore. But when space also creates costs, when not everybody is winning anymore in the global economy, when it becomes obvious that this prosperity doesn't reach everyone, nor does everyone equally benefit from it, people start longing for a place that protects them against threatening developments, such as unemployment, unsecure jobs, financial instability, irregular migration, terrorism, climate change, all kinds of unfair competition and excessive inequalities. Longing for a place where they feel at home and at ease is also longing for the good old days, a nostalgic feeling of a world with more stability and more harmony. And young people, they are aware of the pros and the cons of this new world in which we live. But they also know that the old world will not return. The first group, you can call them wall people, ready to build walls in their hearts, in their heads, even building physical walls, in order to prevent others from coming in. The others are web people, embracing globalization with its advantages and disadvantages. I can use another metaphor. The first group are the staying at home people, and the others are the movers. Mostly the distinction between young and old people. At the same time, we have to find a way to alleviate this tension, to bridge the distance between space and place, between web and wall. We need to address the worries of our younger and our older citizens by giving them better protection in many respects, correcting the market economy by tackling unemployment, irregular migration, climate change, youth inequalities, unfair competition, and providing physical security. We need a new version of the social market economy at the European and even at the global level. We need a new social contract, a new consensus. Only this way can we turn fear into hope and liberate people from the feeling of powerlessness. We need more social harmony and less polarization. More Gemeinschaft und less Gesellschaft. More moderation, I like that word, moderation, and less aggressiveness. This I repeat at the European and at the global level. We need countervailing powers to correct the brutal forces of the market. And the financial crisis was a warning shot. Dear friends, much is at stake, but still doable. In the Europe of tomorrow, we need creativity, innovation, entrepreneurship in our economies, in our societies. French would say, l'imagination au pouvoir. Yes, imagination is powerful. We have to make room for creativity to stimulate and to reward it morally and also financially. The scientist in his lab and the freaks in their garage. The third industrial revolution is taking place under our watch. Our way of life is changing in our lifetime. Expect the unexpected. But I'm struck by today's combination of technological optimism and deep and growing social malaise. We never had it so good, and we've never been so unhappy. The digital revolution is bright, but there is a political revolution of discontent going on. The reason is that we are not used to disruption. We left through so many crises on short notice. Evolution belongs apparently more to human nature than revolution. But above all, many people fear that the digital revolution will create less jobs, insecure jobs, or no jobs at all for them. If this is the case, how to provide jobs for younger and older people? We have to empower people with more skills and prepare them for new jobs in the market or in the subsidized sector. Education, lifelong learning are more important than ever. And at the same time, we have to keep a balance between a demanding professional life and our personal or family life. Flexibility and stability is the formula for that word, happiness. Dear friends, Europe is not a museum. Our societies are very dynamic and full of vitality. Every day, people start their own business, volunteer to help their parents, their neighbors, take initiatives to protect nature and environment, to support foreigners and refugees. And we often underestimate the energy and the dynamism among people. Of course, there is uncertainty and fear, but many still believe in a better life and a better world. We have to encourage the spirit of initiative in the economy and beyond the economy. We have to be committed to progress economically, socially, and ecologically. Hopeful people look at their fellow citizens and their fellow men not as enemies or as rivals. Fear creates failed societies. In stagnating economies and in stagnating societies, tribalism and nationalism can gain ground. Let's be optimistic. The European economy is growing again. We are creating 5 million jobs in the euro area between 2014 and 2017. Our growth is much more evenly distributed among our people than in the United States, where 90% of the citizens only benefited from 20% of the growth created between 1975 and 2007. We in Europe, we obtained results also on climate change. We will overperform by doing better in 2020 than the target of minus 20% greenhouse gas emissions compared to 1990. And the new objective of minus 40% greenhouse gas emissions in 2030 is within reach. Technological innovation will be extremely helpful. Triple glazing, LED lamp using 10% of the energy of traditional lamps, car using 1/3 of the amount of fuel compared to 10 years ago. That's the future or even today's reality. The European Union can become the world leader in the clear energy transition. The US is again in a state of climate denial, building pipelines at any price, prioritizing jobs to environmental needs. We in the European Union are going our own way, the way of the future. We also have to go ahead with free trade, with free and fair trade. We will conclude a trade agreement with Japan this year. We finalized one with Vietnam. We have to go on with Indonesia. And Korea and Singapore are already strong trading partners. Also in South America, we have agreements in the pipeline, namely with Brazil and Argentina. After trade deals already made with Peru, Colombia, Ecuador, and we signed a trade agreement with Canada, etc. The Union has to remain open because it's a source of growth, jobs, and influence in the world. If America is folding back on itself, we are not. We have to remain open-minded. And I repeat, this openness has to go hand in hand with protecting our citizens better against unfair and undesirable evolutions. We have to re-energize Europe. I prefer to use this verb instead of reinventing, which sounds as if we have to start from scratch. But on the contrary, we achieved a lot already, but we have to be more ambitious. The simple truth is that we cannot provide results in all these domains without more European cooperation and integration. It is inevitable and necessary. We have no other choice, but at the same time, cooperation and solidarity are values within themselves. There is no place in today's world for a standalone. More Europe, more European cooperation and integration will give us control over our destiny. We are not sovereign anymore on migration, on terrorism, on trade, on climate change. Only cooperation, European cooperation, can give us a future. Of course, we can be proud that we are what we are, Dutch, Flemish, German, French, etc. We can be patriots, but not nationalists. Our identity must always remain open. Identity can have different layers and also a European one. Dear TEDxers, in those unprecedented and even dangerous times, we have to stick to our values, to our European way of life, following our own course, regardless of what the United States and others are choosing. I believe in the openness of the young generation, and we have to combine this with a sense of protection of the older ones. Yes, we can make it. I remain a man of hope. Thank you so much.